The Wisherman Lake regular board meeting, August 18th, 2014.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening, Claire. I'd like to call to order for the Village of Round Lake, our regular meeting, August 18th, 2014, 7:03 p.m. Madam Clerk, roll call.
Trustee Fry.
Yes.
Trustee Crowley. Trustee Newby.
Present.
Trustee Simoncelli.
Present.
Trustee Trippin.
Present.
Trustee Wazinski.
Present.
I get a motion for item 3.1 to approve the minutes of the regular meeting of August 4, 2014. Let's do that. Thank you. I need all the help I can get. Now, returning to the agenda, can we get a motion for item 3.1? To approve the minutes of the regular meeting of August 4, 2014. Motion made by Trustee Trippin, seconded by Trustee Newby. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. 4.1, any public comment this evening? Thank you, everybody, for being here. Make a motion for the consent agenda, including item 5.1 through 5.3. 5.1, approve accounts payable in the amount of $344,407.15. Item 5.2, approve the payroll for the period ending August 10, 2014 in the amount of $113,156.27. And item 5.3, adopt an ordinance authorizing to surplus truck 43 and place in the Lake County auction. Motion made by Trustee Fry, seconded by Trustee Trippin. Any discussion? Madam Clerk, roll call.
Trustee Crowley.
Yes.
Trustee Newby.
Aye.
Trustee Simoncelli.
Aye.
Trustee Trippin.
Aye.
Trustee Wazinski.
Aye.
Trustee Fry.
Aye.
Motion carries. Madam Clerk, you have a few items.
I do. We want to give you a recognition, a certificate of recognition, and for 10 years of dedicated service to the Village of Round Lake, and which has helped us make Round Lake a great place to work with you. So thank you very much. Congratulate you on 10 years of dedicated service in the Village of Round Lake as well, and to help Round Lake be a better place to live or to do business. So thank you very much. Then I just want to let everybody know that the Village Hall will be closed Monday, September 1st for the holiday. And our next scheduled board meeting will be then September 2nd, Tuesday. Also, the Friends of Round Lake Park District, the Friends of the Round Lake Parks Foundation will have their superhero fun run on Sunday, September 7th. And it's on our website, so if anybody wants to participate, please download the app or the application. And participate. And then Fox Top Foods Express presentation. You're up, ladies.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Susan Chow. I recently retired from county government and never got a standing ovation. it's my pleasure to be here tonight. I'm here to tell you about this wonderful program that we are bringing to the Roanoke area. Actually, it's coming to Lake County. We're going to be one area that it's coming to. It's a nonprofit organization that started by Chris and Sheila Kennedy back in 2012. They've been operating in the city of Chicago. Their mission was to bring healthy, fruits and vegetables, produce and meat to the community. It's a mutually attending sport. I heard about this attending a meeting at the North Carolina Food Bank out in Park City, and I was quite excited about it. Catbox Food Express offers 40% off of their product. I think the one thing that I was most excited about are there are no qualifications. Catbox Food Express in this area will be able to help the seniors. The moms who are out there working that can't afford to put nutritious food on their table, which their budget is tight, can help the underemployed, the unemployed. And there's a cost, but it's a low cost. It's going to help people that might be also getting public assistance for them to stretch their dollars a bit further. They will be distributing from Calvary Presbyterian Church Road. The street care will be here once a month, second Saturday of the month from 9 to 11. There's no sign up. No one has to pre-order. Like I said, there's no qualifying. They can use cash, credit, debit, link, SNAP card, and SNAP card. The person that the customer pays that day picks up their boxes and takes the food home. I don't know if you're aware in Lake County or in the suburbs, I should say, that both living in poverty has risen. Back in 1990, we had 34% of poverty in the suburbs, and in 2011, it raised 50%. So the thing that interested me was that anyone, a family of four making over $41,000, gets absolutely no public assistance. So as you know, rent in the area and gas and everything else is pretty impossible for a young family making $42,000 to feed their children nutritious food. I know when I was raising my family, me and my husband would pay all the bills and never was left over. That was what our food budget was, and we used to walk by the produce department because always go to the frozen food vegetables because we just couldn't afford it. So we're really excited about this. We are a volunteer leadership team right out of the community. John actually is one of our members. We have members from churches, schools. We're from Beth, Judy Armstrong, here with me, representing Beth. We have someone from a food pantry, Mono Mono. We have students from Great Lakes North High School that's helping us out, which we're really excited about. So it's a community volunteer leadership team that is working together to work out the logistics and doing outreach to our community. We've been to the National Night Out. We've been presenting to all the village boards. And what we'd really like is to ask you if you possibly could help us outreach into the community. I left you all with a brochure. It shows you exactly what is offered. We have a produce box that has potatoes, onions, carrots, two other forms of vegetables, two forms of fruit for $10. And we have a meat box for $11. And that includes 3 to 4 meats. And we also have a mega rack for meat that will have the 6 to 8 products. And pricing will always depend on the mega box depending on what the value they can get for that month. So Northern Illinois Food Bank, We're in a relationship with them. They're going to help us pack the product and then bring it out to the distribution thing. So I'm really excited. And if you have any questions.
Well,
right now we have a guest for the first delivery. We're not sure how many people will show up. So, no, there will not be a limit unless we have so many people that day. I mean, we want to ensure that everybody at least gets one of each spot.
I just want to say that I saw Steve Carey posted your presentation that you did earlier in the month, I believe, and so I spent a good portion of my day just watching it pull in the face, and I just think it was fabulous. And I love that thing because it's literally making it no qualification. As you said, so families that are making $41,000 in $1.
Exactly, get nothing.
Absolutely nothing. And so even if they were to get like a reduced sort of help, you know, even if they the government was up for that way, but it's not there for those. I know I was at one point in time at that cost, and literally, I mean, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
And I borrowed it from my family.
Exactly.
And this, I think, is definitely great. It's going to alleviate a lot of that anxiety that a lot of people feel when we're sitting there struggling. I want to give my kids the best nutritional thing, but all I can afford is frozen chicken.
Exactly.
That, yeah, absolutely nothing.
And the seniors, you know, I always think that, you know, by the end of the month they can't get that extra gallon, you know, it's going to allow them that extra gallon, you know, this is going to allow those single working moms to have some dignity and be able to purchase food for, you know, food for her family.
Absolutely.
You know, so.
So the question of how can everybody buy and still work to help the people it needs? Actually, more people participating drives the cost of food down because it works like a food co-op. So the more that we sell, the more food will go in the lot.
So the bigger bulk discounts can get off them. And that's why it's great, you know, everybody can eat. Even those that truly can't afford to go to the store and still just want to kind of keep things a little tight and work out, but then be responsible, but still helping those that really can.
Exactly.
So I think that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited about that.
Thank you. I think it's an awesome program. It'll do a lot of good in our area, without a doubt. Thanks to both of you for doing all you have done. And thanks to Calvary Presbyterian,
mm-hmm.
and the Presbyterian community. And that's, I guess, the overall underlying statement is this is about community. And anybody who knows Judy Armstrong knows that it's about community. So thank you for bringing it to our community.
And Lindsay, Cindy has done an outstanding job leading this group, getting it put together, her and Judy together. Tremendous amount of the instruments.
I think this deserves a
standing
ovation.
Good luck in your endeavor.
Thank you.
Now,
can I say one other thing? We're also going to be looking for volunteers. So as a group, if anybody wants to get a hold of us, we're booked for this month. Rumor has it the best month are going to be December, January, February to volunteer. Bring your boots and your gloves and your hat.
You'll need about 20 volunteers every pickup day. I'll bring that food out to the cars for people who are buying it. So spread the word, especially among the young ones.
How many pickup days are there?
One a month.
Every
month.
Yeah. Okay. And I also have one out in Washington and one in North Chicago.
And we do have flyers if you want them, you know, to put out at the window or any
posters.
We'd be happy to give
you
that too, if
you'd
like
some
other
shows.
Yes.
Here, oh,
Donna,
you took care of it.
Yes.
I should have known about it.
Did you have brochures? Yes.
Okay.
Spanish and English?
No, I had some and a book. I'm not sure if you want to. I'm glad you said that one.
So the three locations are here in North Chicago, Waukegan?
Yep. Correct.
Calvary?
Calvary here.
Mm-hmm. Can we make a correction on here?
I don't like that pinching.
Why was it the same?
I don't like beach.
Yeah. I saw that.
Well, I got this one down.
That's
yeah. Judy
Harper Beach.
Those
are half
boxes
of
literature. And, everybody's
like, so confused about which stuff. We will get
it
right. But we do have it on time. We have it on time. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Can I get a motion for item 10.1 to approve the 2014 Lakewood Terrace Phase 3 MFT resolution? Motion made by Trustee Crowley, seconded by Trustee Newby. Any discussion?
I just want to be very clear about something that I don't see coming up in this paperwork. This is also including, thank you, Court. Okay, nothing in this paperwork signifies that we're including Sankey Court. It's up to, and it goes from, but it's nothing says it is also including Sankey Court.
On the,
the folder directly to make sure it includes the SF, which is not going to be there.
So, can we make amendments on that to include Sankey Court and up to all move it?
The construction bid included that this is really an authorization that I actually use more of your tax card.
And I'm good with that. However, in everything we're looking at, it doesn't say include Sankey Court. When you look at the AIS in particular, it does not say that it includes. Yes. It, in fact, it doesn't include it in any capacity in words. I just simply want to make sure that it does include that. That we're not going to see an additional cost later because there's a little glitch here and there. I don't want to be charged something later that was actually supposed to be included.
Was it in the Lakewood, described in the Lakewood Terrace Phase 3 project? Do you know, Kurt?
It was in the bid. There's a question. The clients are in the bid. We set up that way so they have the flexibility to include and depending on how it's the result of the bid. But
should it go in this agenda item, or
it can, the motion? Who made the motion?
Sue.
Sue. Then your motion that you made it. Then you would be making.
I'll
amend his own motion to make sure that the motion he is putting on the table includes Sankey Court. With the documentation to follow up.
Yes.
And we have that seconded. Then I'm good with it, thank you.
So the motion was made to approve item 10.1 with an amendment to include Sankey Court, seconded by Trustee Newby. Madam Clerk, roll call.
Trustee Newby.
Aye.
Trustee Simoncelli.
Aye.
Trustee Trifon.
Aye.
Trustee Wyszynski.
Aye.
Trustee Fry.
Aye.
Trustee Crowley.
Aye.
Motion carried. They get a motion for item 10.2, adopt a resolution approving the Lakewood Terrace Phase 3 construction service agreement in the amount not to exceed $76,100.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Trustee Newby, seconded by Trustee Crowley. Any discussion?
Just so we're including Sankey Court one more time.
I knew that was coming.
I can disappoint you, sir.
Do we need to do that again? Amend it? A motion to amend by Trustee Trifon?
Is this documentation updated as well? Okay. Well, it would be a motion to amend. Yeah, we will need. So whoever first and second would need the first and second one.
I'll do it.
So a motion was made for item 10.2 and a motion to amend 10.2 to include the work for Sankey Court. Madam Clerk, roll call.
Trustee Simoncelli.
Vote.
Vote.
Aye. Trustee Trifon.
Aye.
Trustee Wyszynski?
Aye.
Trustee Fry?
Aye.
Trustee Crowley?
Aye.
Trustee Newby?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Building and zoning. Item 12.1. We get a motion to adopt an ordinance amending the Round Lake zoning code to address medical cannabis facilities.
So
moved.
We can open
this
up
for discussion
afterwards.
We need
a person to second before we can open
this up. Yep. Motion made by Trustee Simon Selich, seconded by Trustee Trifon. Are you waiting? Any discussion?
Yes, sir. But not me just yet. Go ahead.
I'll give an overview of why we're here tonight and the process that we've been through. The state of Illinois passed the bill of the Compassionate Use of Medical Cannabis Act, and that requires dispensaries and cultivation centers to begin opening up, and now Illinois has set that for the beginning of 2015. So beginning next month in September, the state is going to begin accepting applications for both dispensaries and cultivation centers. Pursuant to state law, neither home rule municipalities nor non-home rule municipalities may prohibit these facilities from being in their communities. What they can do is pass reasonable zoning regulations to enact in regards to these facilities. Pursuant to some GIS mapping done by Baxter Woodman, we know that based on the state buffer requirements, and when I talk about buffer requirements, I mean that the state has implemented certain laws saying that a cultivation center cannot be within 2,500 feet of a school, cannot be within 2,500 feet of child care facilities, or 1,000 feet, I believe, of a residential district. According to those state implemented zoning buffers, the village of Round Lake cannot have a cultivation center. As you will see in the attached ordinance that you will be reviewing tonight, you still have cultivation centers being included into your zoning code. That is essentially a placeholder in case the state of Illinois were to suddenly enact different zoning regulations, take away the buffer requirements, and allow the cultivation centers to then be in the building route. Like, you would have something on your books that would still require someone to come through the zoning process. Currently, as written, it's a special use, so it would have to come through the zoning board to request that special use. They would have to be permitted to be in operation. As for dispensaries, Dr. Woman also did a GIS map regarding the state buffer zone requirements against dispensaries. The minimum requirements the state has put forth are the 2,500 feet buffer from the schools or daycare centers, and they cannot be located within a residential zoned area or any property used for residential purposes. There are not a lot of properties that are available with those buffer requirements, but there still are property within Round Lake that would be available. Therefore, the bulk of this ordinance you have in front of you deals with dispensaries. The buffer requirements are minimum state law. You cannot create lesser requirements for buffers. You cannot move those buffers down from, say, 2,500 feet through school to 1,000. On the other side of that, some municipalities and some counties have taken the stance that you can create higher buffers from those. Some have taken the stance that you can't. There is no case law on the subject, so as of right now, if the board deems it a reasonable regulation, then that would be a reasonable regulation placed on the dispensaries. The reason I give that as an example is because this draft ordinance is based off of the ordinance implemented by Lake County. There are certain changes to this ordinance that are different from Lake County's, one of them being that Lake County does have a 500-foot additional buffer from residential zones for the location of a dispensary. State Department does not require that 500-foot buffer, and per staff and Zoning Board of Appeals, the draft ordinance in front of you tonight does not include that buffer. The draft ordinance in front of you tonight was presented pretty much line for line from Lake County. The differences that the Zoning Board made in their recommendation to you tonight, one is to not have a 500-foot buffer. Two is to allow these sorts of facilities within a non-single-use site, which is essentially allowing it within a strip mall. And then I believe the third one had to do with fencing around a property where the fencing requirement was removed so that police would be able to see into the parking lot and be able to see things that were happening across the property. So with that,
landscape requirement. They don't want a dispensary to be blocked by landscaping, so officers can actually see the building.
So with those changes, the zoning board voted unanimously to recommend this draft ordinance in front of you tonight.
So the only change from the common board to ours is the 5 feet buffer zone.
And removing requirements that would require the dispensary to be at a single-use site. There were multiple requirements for that. There was the one just saying it had to be a single-use site in a standalone facility. There was a setback requirement from other uses, other buildings that were removed as well. But yeah, those are the two major changes that were from the electronic ordinance.
Just one question that I have is, why is this a good thing to do? One of the examples is concerned about the rush for us to really get it through, even if it didn't come to the whole, and just like the discussion, that hurry is hurry, during home time. So that's one of the points that I have. So I have, why is this a good problem?
That's a legal question, so
number one, this is about talking where dispensaries can go. The state has already said that. If they choose us, we have to have it. And we have to have the ordinances to allow for that zoning, and it has to be clear and concise. We cannot tell the state that we do not want it. We spoke about this at the last meeting briefly at Committee of the Whole. It was a little out of order because usually it goes to the Plan Commission first to hear their recommendation, but I wanted the board to start having topics on it. You had already seen and been distributed several months ago the proposed state ordinance. Plenty of description there, the legal description of what the state passed. We distributed that to all of the members. The ordinance that the county passed, we informed you of it, and you could get it. I don't think we distributed that, did we, Steve? We didn't distribute that. But we, do you remember the date of that, Eric, when that happened?
The county ordinance was happening back in May or June.
June? I think it was June. So it was a couple months ago. This isn't anything new. I think we've been discussing this for several months. It's been a topic for several months. Information's been available for 7 months. We spoke about it briefly in Committee of the Whole last week before this meeting, and the only sense of, and tell me if I'm right, Steve, the only sense of urgency that we're trying to do, and I think all of the information that you could ever dream of is right here, that everybody has since Friday. The only sense of urgency with this is that the state will start accepting applications September 2nd.
True? September,
yeah. For the people who have shown interest in opening a dispensary in the village of Broadway, if we do not have this passed by this evening, that means our next meeting will be after the September 2nd, and those people would not be able to apply on the opening day, which would, I think, be a deterrent to the state selecting the village of Round Lake as being possibly chosen for a dispensary. So that's really the only sense of urgency.
I was still at the logistics of that part of it. I still didn't understand the question and answer. Why is this good for Round Lake? What is good for Round Lake?
First thing is the sales tax. Number two, it is a thing whether we cannot choose it whether it's good or bad for us. If the state says you have to have it, it'll be here. That's mandatory. It will be a business. I don't know where it's going in the future. Is it going to be like Colorado? Are there going to be more dispensaries opening? I don't know the answer to that. Well, unless they do what Chicago does, which the state of Illinois, I think, is heading in that direction. I think it's very clear what they're trying to do. And I think it'd be good for this to be recognized as a legal, useful business to people who need relief of this. And I think it will be something that we don't want to scoff about for the tax dollars that we would get.
How much tax dollars are we planning on receiving?
Have no idea. You can make assumptions on this, but there's no dispensaries in the state of Illinois to make that decision.
We don't have to in the state forward already, and they should be an idea.
They have an assumption, but I wouldn't even repeat that because I don't know.
If we were to look at, say, Colorado, we're looking at millions of dollars in Colorado that are being made in these dispensaries. So if we were just to be, let's say, real conservative, like our college administrator is, let's say we bring in $1 million. And we're going to get 1%. But they're not bringing in $1 million. They're bringing in like $1 million in a month.
Counties and counties have multiple of these dispensaries.
I do know what one dispensary, I've had the opportunity to talk to a dispensary in Colorado. Now, again, you're comparing apples to, so what is it going to be? What is our population base? I have no idea. How many doctors are going to be writing prescriptions? I don't think we can even begin to guess at that.
I have a question. Chief, the question is that to me, what happens when you get one of those dispensaries in your area? How much more is it going to cost us in man hours for police protection? Because I understand that those things run off on a cash basis from credit. Also, the second thing is that the element that comes into the area, because, different areas have probably different growing fields and things that they get their stuff from or whatever this cannabis is from. It's got to have some impact on the security of the residents here in Round Lake. It's got to have some sort of impact. And I'm sure the mayor, since he took away that 580-foot, looks like 500-foot buffer that the county put in, that should have had something to do with, I think that 500-foot buffer went back in, if I'm right, and I'm sure you've done the homework on it. That would only be 2 places. And they're both like locked, from what I understand, which means they have to stand by the building to do that. But that's the way the county looks at it. So, I mean, if I'm correct, now, if I'm wrong, I'm actually correct on that. But the thing of it is that I'm not too, I said, keen on having that element come in. Because that as well as I do, you can find any plaque out there to give you a prescription for I just call it the way it is. I'm sorry, that's what I am. And I don't know if I want that element in the village around Lake. Well, my kids, and I got this mental picture. I see kids going to the library. I see people that come from other areas to come run and park people. They run through the parks and ride their bicycles and bring their babies here and what have you. And I don't want somebody standing on tree corners smoking weed out of the city. That's for me.
And the ordinance is very clear on that. They cannot do that.
I know that, but I'm just looking at it I'm not saying that I disagree with the law. All I'm saying is that I don't know if I like the way that the law, both laws are written, the state and the county law is written, then if we follow exactly what those guidelines are, we'd be just fine. And I'm sure that the county would have had to get some sort of studies themselves before they did this, and now here we are going to undo that what the county did.
My concern isn't so much about having the elements here, because I think that the state guidelines are going to be pretty stringent. My concern is we are going to, and we do know already just by history of the use of cannabis and dispensaries even in Colorado, that there is a higher rate of crime in the areas of the dispensaries. My concern is we're already having a difficulty in making enough officers on the road at one time that can run to whatever is going on and tend to the crime that may come from a dispensary. So I'm looking at this from a business standpoint. I'd like to know that our revenue from this tax is going to at least exceed the price of another officer, because I think he's going to be needing that. And I don't think it's unreasonable for us to say, if we're going to need it and we're going to have to do it, that we're getting enough from this tax to be able to cover that. Otherwise, from a business standpoint, you're going to be spending money to create this tax that you're going to still lose money on. And I don't want to see us flounder after we made this decision and find out, oh, it didn't work to our benefit.
I'm going to share a couple of data information that I've been for my delivery participants. From the Denver Police Department, their crime from January and February 2013 to January and February 2014 is down 14.6%. They've actually had a decrease in their crime for the century. And for the tax revenue, which is, I pulled it from MSNBC, one of my little tabs here.
Just real quick, once you're doing this, Ian, how many are being approved for late count?
Three.
So it's not even the same that we're actually going to get.
Now there's a lot bigger city than Raleigh is. There's only more revenue there.
Yeah. For medical and recreational. But here, stating, I'll just say that the crimes have gone down in Colorado. Crime rates may not have gone up, but revenue is soaring since January. Colorado dispensaries have sold about $90 million worth of retail cannabis. The state has collected about $35 million in taxes, licenses, and fees from both recreational and medical marijuana markets, according to the Colorado Department of Revenue-related tax data. And this was in July 17th or 14th from MSNBC data.
So that's a real number.
No, those are some good numbers, and the police staff list on the Denver Police Department showing that their crimes have gone down. Now, they are moving it to a combination of having more officers and different tactics involved, too. So I'm not saying that just because we have dispensaries, there are other things. But if they're bringing in $35 million in taxes within the state,
they've increased their police presence as well to keep the crime down, and I need to know that we're going to be able to make that revenue before we walk into it and say, let's go ahead and do it. I mean, we obviously don't have a choice. We have to come up with an ordinance that we can all live with, but I just want to say, I don't want to, you know, taxes are great, the revenue looks awesome. I don't want us to think we're biting at the forbidden fruit that we might not get. And then find ourselves behind,
which is what we know is going to be the ones behind versus the ones ahead of the game. And quite frankly, not as a board member here, as a resident, I am struggling to pay our taxes between the schools, the district, county. I mean, it seems to the point where I don't even know if I can afford to live around my income. And that's become a real decision for me and my family. I mean, most people know I'm probably going to quit. My company's having to go to China. So, I mean, for me to think about taking this home, we can't have additional, I can go to take some of that tax burden off the school.
off of, you know, our park. I mean, so I can compete with the community that I grew up in. Definitely, you know, things that he sent numbers out there. I probably have to even find out that I can possibly stay in my community for text because I'm going to go out of state or go from his house.
This was a task.
Yes, there was, because not necessarily just the property tax, but they would go into the amounts of the sales tax would go to pay part of the schools. It could be designated to go and pay different portions. It would definitely affect. If we're talking the state, if our state pulled in, what, half of that $35 million, half the state in general and divided between the counties, is our county getting...
But that's also making a big assumption that across both aisles, they're going to elect to put the money into those resources or into those places,
but
there's no guarantee of that. And that's my concern. I want to make sure that we are prepared for the extra costs we're going to be incurring and making sure that we are making the profit that can then help us to keep from raising our property tax here just in our village tax. That's all we can be responsible for. We can't tell any other arm of government how to use their revenues. I think ideally we would all love that because there isn't one of us in Lake County that isn't saying, oh God, raise my taxes again. I don't know what I'm going to do here today. So, but I'm just looking at all we can really be responsible for, and from my standpoint, being responsible for if we're going to move forward with this and we are going to have a viable ordinance that's going to be worthwhile, we as a board have to realize that it costs money to go forward to do this, and we have to make sure that we're going to be making that money because we don't have it in our coffers in any other fashion to float doing this if there were no good sales tax.
Now here's another standpoint too, just for my other viewing of it, because we are talking medical marijuana, we are not talking recreational,
right.
Which we fall through with Colorado, it's going to happen within, you know, which means even more tax revenue per day. But look at it this way. If a patient's prescribed oxy, right, that you go to any basically drugstore and fulfill the prescription. Now, if I don't have a prescription on, if I from Doc Smith, we're both in trouble. We're both getting fined, we're both getting, you know, tickets. The same thing. So why are we going to deny somebody who could possibly use medical treatment for them and make them have to go out further away? And I'm pretty sure there's people within our community that will be needing them and will be taking advantage of it. So I mean, once again, we're kind of putting down their conditions for their treatment. I think that we don't want this here versus saying, but you can go get oxygen.
I don't think anyone is saying that we don't want it here. We don't get that luxury. We do not get the ability to say we don't want this. What we're being asked to do is to do this with our eyes wide open, walking into a situation where we can say, but we have to allow this, but we want to make sure we're not near a preschool. We want the same considerations that the average homeowner is going to have. In my consideration from an average homeowner and a board member, I want to know we're going to be able to have the correct and proper amount of police presence because we just know it's going to be there.
If I can make a comment, the only real question I've heard is the question that Henry asked. And Henry, I want to, for the record, to show that it was not my decision to make that 500-foot buffer disappear. That was written by the Solar Plan Commission. But the question Henry has is, what police presence is going to be needed, and is there an increase in crime? Don shows Denver is one thing. Another state can be, was there 19 states, I think?
They're all technically showing the
decreases in crime. So, you know, is there a trend there in all these 19 states? So far, it shows that there is. The question that I think we really are asking, that Henry started to, is, one of the things that you said about the county's ordinance, and why not follow that? It was at the Zoning Board and Plan Commission, and it was a very strong opinion that the county, from our plan commission, it was a very strong opinion that after reading their ordinances and their restrictions as far as fencing, single-use, standalone buildings, there'd be very few areas in any municipality that would be able to allow putting all of it into county-owned property. You see where this is going. And I think that's an opinion that is qualified. The question that we have to ask is, do we want to make it so prohibitive that people will turn away and not consider Round Lake because we have one spot, one building, one piece of land that they can use? Or do we want to be within the parameters that the Plan Commission has recommended to us and make it not have to have a special use and make it more attractable for a business to come here and for us to reap those benefits?
Did any of the people from the Planning Commission, the Zoning Commission, come and talk to you? And because I'm sure he can go to that offhand, say, hey, Chief, if I'm correct, you can ask another question. You made labels with some of the us.
Yes.
The studies that you
made
for crime,
please
don't address just the individual areas where the dispensaries are in. I too call Denver. I don't know why Denver just popped in my mind. They also call San Jose. In Denver, where marijuana is illegal in both respects, recreational and medical, there's a dispensary on every street. And if you ask them about crime at the dispensaries, it's not. You're talking about $1 million business. Okay. Add $1 million to CVS's income every year. What are you going to have? You're going to have taxes, and so there's going to be increases because of the amount of people. There's not going to be robberies every day. The place is going to be as secure as or not. In the zoning code, the way I read it, you won't be able to have one anyway because of 14F. We don't have any buildings that fit that building. So you need to look at this and read it really carefully. Now, as far as the crime, that's where increase in police service is not coming. It's going to take place. It's just accidents in the parking lot, people tripping, people meeting cars, people locking their cars off. It's not going to be every day a hold up. Now, with $1 million in revenue, what else happens when you build a new subdivision? What do they ask for when you build a brand new subdivision? There's nothing around. All I want is a pizza place and a place to buy a gallon of milk and maybe a gas station. You get those, and what happens after that? Then Costco shows up. Woodman's shows up. Car dealer. So you get $1 million in revenue, stream coming into the village, you're going to get all these other peripheral diseases that want a share of them. So CVS's money's going to go up and sales tax is going to go up in a lot of other ways that you're not even talking about. And you might have to let the demon in, but the state's telling you you have to anyway. You don't have a choice. So I guess what I'm asking is, don't just look at it from a crime perspective. Look at the whole apple tree, not just one pipe. It really isn't a bad thing if we've got to have it anyway, make the best out of it. Make it look like what you want it to look like. You don't be a slave to it, but you learn something. Build it so it is true to what you want.
Do
feet, which means we don't qualify because of.
Do we have any buildings in town that are secured and closed?
Yeah, but you could always, if one meets the zoning code, you can always add that to it. You could add that part to it, so that's a building and zoning. That's where we regulate it then.
Right, and that's where, what do you call this?
This is the zoning, this would be a zoning regulation.
Yeah.
No, I mean the part about the farm.
Oh, call the base center.
Yeah.
You used the term that you called that, putting that facility.
The buffer.
Yes, Trustee Crowley.
Yeah, I've been unfortunately involved in this one, and I wanted to be, somebody would have told me I'd be sitting here voting for marijuana one way or the other, you know, years ago. My third term as a trustee, I never would have believed it, but. I sat in the county meetings. I got to tell you that, you know, when they started out, the first two meetings, I figured this whole thing was going to blow up and blow away because everybody in that room, nobody could get together to agree with anything. And I think the biggest problem I've had that we took care of it was growing and cultivating marijuana. I don't think I want that anywhere in this town or around this town because I think that's really a trap, some unsavory elements. It's a huge undertaking. It's a huge security. But the dispensaries, they're going to be regulated by the state, licensed by the state. There's specific rules and regulations. You're not going to be advertising and flashing lights and stuff. You cannot do that. They have all kinds of legal things that the business would have to do. I think the only thing I would like to add, if I would add anything to this after thinking about it and reading over this ordinance, if you go to 14D, it says the chief of police shall review the lighting, security, video surveillance installations, blah, blah, blah. And I would just like to see us add a thing in there that, if possible, I know it says we cannot go ahead and make anything restrictive here with the state law, but if we could have a video feed to our police department from the dispensary, if something ever happens there, at least our officers would know ahead of time what's going on before they leave the building, and they would be able to see that. And I have, you know, outside of that, I think everything else they thought about, we could sit here all day long and guess. I mean, we know we're going to make money. We know that if it happens to come to us, okay, we could be sitting here going through all these motions and, you know, the state's not going to pick us and this is all going to die. It's not going to happen and that's going to be that. But if it happens to happen and we have to get in there, there's no doubt we're going to make some money. And I think in the end, then, we've got to look at the police department, see what the chief needs, and then we'll go ahead and address that. And after a year from now, let's say we get one, it comes in, we give it a shot and see what happens. And if there's other problems, then, you know, I guess we're going to have to sit down and say, okay, what can we do to resolve the problems? Or do we want this? Or whatever. But, I mean, you can always sit here and look at negatives and positives and try to paint a picture one way or the other. And I think on this instance, none of us is going to know until it happens. I'm only feeling better because you're not doing recreational marijuana at this time. So the people that are going to need it are the people who are sick and in need of something that's going to be prescribed by a doctor. And hopefully that's not going to bring unsavory elements into this. To me, it's just going to be another medical problem that somebody has, and this is a way to go ahead and make themselves get better or feel better. And I guess I'm willing to sit back and take the gamble, and we'll see what happens.
Well, did they ever in any of those meetings say that they were going to predict that they were going to get an application?
And they had said that once they, I don't think they had to call an application, they had to put some cash up with it. Did I tell you, Dan, was it 25 or 50?
25,000 for the cultivation zone.
Okay.
Cultivation.
And would they put that in, please? I mean, that's their price to go ahead and be reviewed.
Just $5,000, just to say yay or nay.
Just to say yay or nay to go ahead and go ahead and apply for this. So they're trying to weed out all the people who, on a whim, say, oh, let's get together with a couple of guys and let's go put an application. And that could happen that way. You got to come out with hard cash, a good business plan, all this stuff. So they were trying to get rid of the riffraff.
There is a $5,000 application fee for the sensory as well, so you will be only getting companies that are serious about this. And as part of the application process, the sensory has to submit documentation from Round Lake, if they're wanting to locate Round Lake, to the state, saying that they comply with all of our local ordinances, including zoning regulations. So that's another one of the reasons why it was. This zoning ordinance is already tonight. Because the fact is the state is going to be accepting applications in September, and if it's a sensory wants to locate here, they need that signature from off state.
Along with maybe $5,000.
$5,000.
Okay. I saw some of the investors. I was still a lot of the 78 feet from the property line to the corner of that building where they may go. The resident says it would not want us to last 500 feet. They do not want us there. So I would not be in favor of withdrawing the faculty.
And is that the only location at this point?
No, it's been a while, not by 60. Okay. I think that's 100 feet from a residence area. Now, the state has said you can't be within a residence area. It's very strong about that. So I would be blasted for our residence.
Because they have a CVS right next door to one that deals with much more sinister drugs than marijuana. You'd be basically eliminating any place in the village of Round Lake.
And like she's mentioned, once you get that business that's bringing in millions of dollars, or bringing
you
in
$300,000.
Like when you have businesses bringing in money and people, more businesses trying to attract it and want to go by you. When they see people, they see,
We have an agenda item here. It was recommended by our Plan and Zone Commission. And I might have to also say that at that meeting, everybody was well studied on the topic. I thought it was a fantastic meeting. Good questions were asked. I was very proud of the job that they did. We've had some discussion on this. I would like to see us move forward and make a motion and vote whether we want to carry this forward or not.
The motion's made, I believe. At this point in time, if there is anybody who would like to make a motion to change part of the ordinance, those should be taken on a one-by-one basis. The motion can be presented, it can either be passed or failed, and then once all of those amendment motions are made, we can then vote on the final ordinance as laid out. Does that make sense to everybody here?
I'm going to get a motion to amend to the 500 feet from a business district to a residential.
Motion made to put a 500-foot buffer zone between the business and residential property. Motion was made by Trustee Newby and seconded by Trustee Fry. Is there any discussion?
That would basically pull us out of the thing for this whole ordinance period is pointless regardless.
Correct.
You have to order the state to build
one. But we can't make money on it, and we can't put a building on that.
But then we have 57 acres that we honestly can't let use for other things because it's now earmarked for just it. So it can't be anything residential, it can't be anything commercial. You're going to take 57 acres and you're going to make it, essentially you're going to make it almost unattractable for somebody to come in and want to develop.
Fine, and bring more businesses. So once again, we're just shooting ourselves in the foot that we're going to have. At this point.
Any further discussion? Madam Clerk, roll call for Trustee Newby's amendment.
Trustee Trippin.
No.
Trustee Wyszynski.
No.
Trustee Fry.
Aye.
Trustee Crowley.
No.
Trustee Newby.
Aye.
Trustee Sims Valley.
Nay.
Madam Clerk?
So we're going to go to the original?
What is the...
Motion to amend failed. And then there was another amendment?
I want to make an amendment to 14, or add to 14D, with a sentence that says we shall have a video feed to our police department.
And $2,500?
Yes, this is one amendment, it's not, because this one's just before the video feed to the police car. Is that...
At the dispensary's expense, yes. At the dispensary's expense.
Yeah, all of the requirements are at the dispensary's expense.
Can we afford someone to do that?
I have not seen this as a zoning regulation before, so I am not sure. It is a commercial business, so there would be sort of privacy rights you would think about of putting this in somebody's home. But I would word it as such where the chief of police would have discretion on the type of video feed, because they may give us a video feed to their register and to their back supply room. They're not going to give us a video feed to their private bathrooms or, you know, the head guy's office or say that manager's office. So.
Oh.
Well, but that's the police department. They are a... If he would like to make that, yes. But that would be, again, on the discretion of the police of... the chief of police to implement it in the first place. By adding this amendment, you're requiring the chief of police to implement it. My writing of it will give the chief of police discretion on where exactly that video feed goes within the building. And again, this is subject to revision if at a later date we find out it is illegal.
I'd rather put it in there and the chief at least have some say so. And like I said, if I was an officer, we got a call getting down there. I mean, today if I was, you know, I think banks, stuff like this, I think the main office should have some kind of a feed. I mean, nobody thought a fire department years ago getting alarm systems into the fire department, so when the alarm goes off, they know where it's at, what's going on. Police department the same way. I think, you know, it's time to, we got all the technology to operate it and make their life maybe a little safer when they go off to an airport.
That's already the state ordinance, in the ordinance. But do we require, Chief, for video feed from any other business?
No, we have it from the park basically.
Does anybody have an idea if this is prohibitive? Is it a prohibitive expense? What would?
It's not.
Is it?
Most video devices in buildings now.
Actually, I got to be honest with you. I didn't even know it existed until I was over at the office one day, and they had it with the parks district, and I said, that's a good idea. And I thought, well, how come banks don't do this? How come other places then? We had this opportunity.
So the motion to amend was made. Was it seconded?
Second.
Was it, Madam Clerk?
No, it wasn't.
So the motion by Trustee Crowley is to amend the ordinance to include a video feed from the dispensary to the police department. Seconded by Trustee Simon Selle. Madam Clerk, roll call.
Trustee Wyszynski.
Aye.
Trustee Fry?
Aye.
Trustee Crowley?
Aye.
Trustee Newby?
Aye.
Trustee Sanselli?
Aye.
Trustee Trippin?
Aye.
The amendment carries. Is there any other discussion? Then we vote on the agenda item with the amendment. Madam Clerk, roll call.
Trustee Fry.
Nay.
Trustee Crowley?
Aye.
Trustee Newby?
Nay.
Trustee Sanicelli?
Aye.
Trustee Trippin?
Aye.
Trustee Wyszynski?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Motion carries. Thank you, everybody. Good debate. Item 14.1, a special event. Vicki, do you have anything?
No, that I don't think.
Okay. Under 14.1, adopt a resolution approving the appointment of Shane D. Johnson as Finance Director, Treasurer of the Village of Round Lake. Welcome, Shane. As you know, Shane's official work day started last Monday. Pleasure to have him on board. He is an absolute asset to be here.
I'm impressed he stayed.
Motion made by Trustee Newby.
Aye.
Seconded by Trustee Simoncelli. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Welcome, Shane. All of a sudden they're meaningless now. Yes, he does.
Oh, we weren't replaced. We weren't carrying the season that replaced.
Mm. 14.2, Mayor's comments. I just want to thank all of the trustees for their comments tonight on a difficult decision with the cannabis facility. Good discussion, good topic, good points of view. Thank you so much for doing your homework and being passionate about this. There was one other topic that I was just going to announce and I forgot about it, so this one's gone on far enough. Trustees' comments.
Just to thank you to the Chief, Sue, Don, and everybody else that helped National Night Out with good success. A lot of hot dogs went. Double the number. Tattoos went good. Pumped up went good. So, job well done.
I'd like to ditto on that. That was awesome. Thank you, Chief, for showing me how to work. I know the machine so we can do the tattoos. I believe we did over 90 tattoos that night. Now we started, about an hour into the event.
But
be a part of this team. I'm glad to. And if you heard the word team, there ain't no I in there.
That's
right. So, long time ago, you can take time right.
Also, Pat, I will thank you back for time. I totally agree. I think tonight was a very spirited conversation. And that we can all walk away and know we voted our conscience clearly and properly to what we think is correct. It's awesome. So thank you for that. Second, congratulations to Rob and Greg for their years of service. It is because of their years of service and those that we have here that did their service so easily that we're able to sit here on the weekend and give back a little bit and do more for the village. So I'm real happy for them. Welcome, Shane, and really cool to see the office with somebody different to you than me and having to go for it now. It gives you such a vote of confidence. I think we all share that vote of confidence, and we obviously did when we say we are vote of confidence. So do well, prosper well, and welcome aboard. Thanks to Keith for National Night Out, and it's one of my favorite events. I obviously don't want to see another hot dog for a very long time. And we cooked, oh my gosh, and we cooked, and we cooked, and we cooked. And I've done with hot dogs for a while, but it was a lot of fun. Thanks also to Chief Maplework, who also did a hot dog run and added more for us. It just seemed like this year grew exponentially with no warning that it was going to grow like that. But it was fun, it was great. I think the advertising had a lot to do with it. I hope next year it's even bigger. I promise myself that next year I'm not going to stay to cook all fruit. Well, I need to get one either.
You're just telling the people run for more, and then you're done.
We did a great number, though, and I think we made a lot of people happy. We had a lot of people there to celebrate what our police do, and the donors are a lot of fun to watch, and especially the one who literally put himself in the car and closed the door here. Wow, I was shocked at how beautifully that dog did. But my thanks for National Night Out. It has a very special meaning to those who have really looked at why we do it. And it's always a pleasure to be a part of that particular evening. So thank you.
You guys have all expressed it so well, you have to go
happen. That's a
first,
Don.
I'll throw my hat to the mayor.
Thank you, everybody. Chief, one other thing about National Night Out that went over really well was the bicycle auction. A lot of work on that. Very positive. Thank you. Any other comments? Making a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Motion made by Trustee Chiffon, seconded by Trustee Newby. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Adjourned at 8:15 p.m.